You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So I'd like to invite Steve up now for our message and our word.
Good morning, church. Good morning, online. It's great to have you watching and filling in for Christine, who's on a well-deserved holiday over in Victoria. So it's good to be here this morning. I thought it's just a great start to the service. You know, when we come and join together and we hear sermons, not sermons, scriptures like we've heard this morning, when we sing songs like we've sung this morning, you know, sometimes Christianity can become ho-hum, you know, like we come week in, week out, and we forget how powerful God is. We forget this God that we serve is the God of the impossible. We sung these songs about his name is power, his name is healing, his name is life. And maybe this morning you're struggling in life. Maybe this morning you need physical healing, or you need spiritual healing, or you need just a touch from God. We sung about, you know, he's my family. I speak Jesus over my family. And so I want to pray right now for this power of God, that we move our faith, we raise our faith level just a little bit for those people in our lives. You know, maybe there's a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, a family member who are not walking with the Lord. I want to speak Jesus over those people this morning. Maybe you're going through a condition or a situation where life's just tough. Life is tough, and you just need a touch from the Lord. I just want to pray into that this morning, because his name is power. His name, he is with us, and he will never leave us. And we want to just lift our faith to a place where we can start just walking in that sense of God is in control. So are you with me this morning? So if you have someone, just lift them up in your heart. Just bring them up, and I'm going to pray for that person right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come, Father. You tell us to come in the name of Jesus. We don't come in our own strength, Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We call upon your name. And Lord, I just pray across the congregation this morning that you would elevate our faith, that you would lift our faith, that we would believe the words that we read, we would believe the words that we sing, that there is something about those prodigal sons and daughters, our own children, Lord, who have moved on from you, who have left you. They know you. And we believe that the work that you have begun in them, you will complete to the end. And so, Father, we're lifting up our children this morning, those children that have walked away, and we ask, Lord, that you would bring them back into the fold, that you would raise this understanding of Jesus in their hearts. For those, Lord, who are doing it a little tough today, I just want to pray life, Father. You are life. And so, Lord, I just pray for life this morning, life that you would just enable people to, in your strength, begin to change their destiny for this year, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. All right. All scripture is useful. Have you heard that before? It says in the, it's useful. It's useful for training, correcting, rebuking in all righteousness. And so this morning I hope the words that we speak will enable us to, you know, become a bit more like Christ. It'll change our thinking and then enable us to transform and move us in the direction that God would have us go. So last week we're talking about parables, and last week Christine talking about the sower, and Sean mentioned it this morning, but she asked the question, what is a parable? What is a parable? And so it's an allegorical story with a hidden meaning that sort of drawn from everyday life and conveys a spiritual lesson. So basically there's a story that we all get, but over that story, there's a hidden meaning, a spiritual lesson for us to take out and take home. And so Jesus used parables all the time. From the beginning of his ministry, when he started with Nicodemus, he used a parable about the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't know where it is, but it's like the wind. You know the wind's there, but you don't know where it is. You can't see it. You don't know where it comes from. And then 2 days before the end of his life, he spoke parables still to the disciples. You know, he spoke about the 10 virgins, the bags of gold, the sheep and goats. So when we read parables, and Jesus used them all the time, because for people who have ears to hear and eyes to see, they open their hearts to the things that Jesus wants to teach. And so parables have this hidden meaning that God calls upon us to open our eyes, open our ears, to be able to see the spiritual truth behind what he's trying to teach. And so this morning we're going to go again and look at another parable that's been read out already, the one about the wise and foolish builders. And so I want you to consider, what is the hidden meaning this morning for you? What's this allegorical truth? You've got to know the story. You'll know it's like the three little pigs. We've all heard of the three little pigs. I think this parable, the three little pigs came from this parable, basically. And you know the story. It's not so much about the story. You get the story. It's about the application of the truth behind the story, the hidden meaning that's going to be important for you this morning and what we can get out of it. So we're going to look at this, and it's already been read out, so I won't read it again. But Jesus uses this story of the parable. Maybe if you put the first slide up there, Caesar, and Sean's already read it. And obviously there's a guy who builds his house on good foundation and a guy who builds it on sandy soil. And when the storms come, one house collapses, the other one doesn't. So basically that's the story, the parable that's been told. And so the story makes sense. If by show of hands, does the story make sense to you this morning? Yes, the story. You understand the concept of building on a solid ground. If you don't build on a solid ground, what will happen? Things will fall apart. They'll collapse. So basically, that is the story. So we all get it. We can all go home. So what's the hidden meaning for you this morning? What's the revelation? What is God trying to bring into your heart? What is God trying to speak? Because if you're wise, you'll build your house on solid ground. If you're foolish, you'll build it on swampy ground. And when the storms come, the one on swampy ground will fall. So what is the hidden meaning? So I just want to look at 3 points this morning, just bring 3 things to our attention that will come from verse 24. And verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And really, I just want to work on this one verse this morning, that you'll be able to take it away, maybe reflect on it through the week, and see what God is saying to you. What does he want to reveal to us this morning? So in context, the first thing I want to ask is, if we go to the next slide, is what are the, oh, that's this slide, yeah. These words, what words is Jesus talking about? He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Well, what words is he talking about this morning? What words is he speaking? And obviously in context, he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. So for the last 3 chapters, he's been talking about, you know, the character of a good Christian life. You know, he's been talking about your heart attitude, you know, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, blessed are the poor. And I'm there already, I'm going, oh, you know, I can't do that. Then he says, you know, he talks about being salt and light. And he talks about dealing with your anger. He talks about dealing with sexual fantasy. He talks about love your enemies, turn the other cheek, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven. Don't worry. Anyone worrying this morning? Don't worry. Judging others. And so these are the words he's actually speaking, and these are the words he's calling us to put into practice. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But looking back through the cross, and if you're a believer this morning, you know there's more. Because in the Great Commission, at the very end of the book of Matthew, he says, and you know, therefore go and baptize all people in the name of Jesus, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So at the back end of the book, after he's been with his disciples for all this time, he says, I want you to go out and teach them everything that I've taught you. So not only is it the Sermon on the Mount, but basically he's saying everything spoken in the New Testament was to come was about Jesus. So he's saying, I want you to listen to the words of the New Testament. Listen to the words of the Sermon on the Mount. But there's more. You're excited, aren't you? There's more. Because in Luke 24, 27, as Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So not only is it all about the New Testament, it's all about the Old Testament. So from the book of Genesis, from the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From the beginning to the end, this is the word of Jesus. This is important to us. Everything that's in this is life. Everything that's in this is healing. Everything that's in this is power. So when Jesus starts to talk about put into practice the things I've said, he's talking about the word. He's talking about the word revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit from his Father. And each one of us, many of us this morning, have that conviction that this is the word of God. And it's important. It's important. That's why we come on Sundays, to hear the word, to expound it. It's important. We ask you to do a devotion each day to Christ, a morning devotion, you know, and beyond that, to listen to him throughout the day, because he speaks to us through the word of God. And so the first thing is, when Jesus says, these words of mine, he's talking about all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, for training, and for something else, rebuking in righteousness. And the thing about this was, if you go to the back end of that verse, it said, and they were amazed at his teaching. We're not talking about religious teaching now, because we drift so quickly to religious teaching. His teaching brought life, and they were amazed. It was different to the teaching of the day, the leaders, Jewish leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes. It was different. It was different, which brings me to my second point, which is, it says there, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman. You know, same thing, wise man, wise woman. So what makes you wise this morning? Because there's a tension between works and law and grace. There's a tension. Works and law and grace and love. You know, what are we going to put into practice? This tension is always there. And it's so easy to gravitate back to the mentality of works. You know, I'm amazed at how easy it is, even for Christians, to gravitate back to works and law. It's what we do, and we're very good at it. And God is calling us to continually to walk in grace and love. You know, so look at, just think about it. If we're honest with ourselves, Jesus has been talking about our heart attitude. You know, blessed are the poor, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek. You know, how meek are you? How poor are you? How humble are we? You know, then it goes on to, you can lighten up in a minute, but you know, be salt and light. Don't lose your flavor. You know, how do we deal with our anger? Our unrighteous anger is like murder, Jesus said. If you have unrighteous anger, you're committing murder. If you think about another woman or a man sexually, you're committing adultery. You know, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Give to the needy. Pray. Fast. No, don't worry about the treasures on the world. That car's not important. That job's not important. All those sorts of things. We need them, but they're not important. Your treasure's in heaven. Don't worry. Stop judging others. Oh, my goodness. Now, when I think of this, I go, fail, 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 fail. If you want, you can turn to someone and say, fail, just to fail. You know, I watched a lot of sermons on this very particular parable, and I was almost devastated by how many sermons were about how good you had to be. How good you had to be. Obviously, God, holiness is important to God, but don't get me wrong. But you know, if we try to please God by keeping this list of actions as best we can, well, you're foolish. You're unwise. You're building on the wrong foundation. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come to, not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus is saying, "I haven't come to abandon the rules. I'm going to make them tougher." Now, it's easy because you could go out tomorrow and say, I haven't committed murder. But have you thought, you know, angrily about someone in a way that's inappropriate? Well, that's just like murder. So Jesus didn't come to say, right, I'll help you fulfill the rules. I'm going to make them tougher for you. You can't fulfill them. You can't fulfill. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees knew the law backwards. And he's speaking to them now. And he's telling people like us, you've got it. Your righteousness has to surpass the Pharisees who knew everything. Wise people build on the whole counsel of God. And as preachers, sometimes, and I've done it in the past, we can, you know, make it about your inability to do the right thing. Well, we all know you can't do the right thing already. Some of you are smiling. So it's about, how do we build on this foundation, the whole counsel of God? Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is a gift of God. Amen? Amen. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. So not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, the point is the gate is narrow. And maybe this morning you're still trying to please God by your actions. You're still measuring yourself by your actions. Maybe you're one of those people who've been in church a long time and you've never stopped to think about the narrow gate. And the narrow gate is simply this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He rose again to give you life. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and rules over all the world at this time. You believe upon that by faith, you are saved. Amen? Amen. But we gravitate back to the rules. We gravitate back to the laws and works. And we look at each other. Oh, don't like that. Look what they're doing. We don't see him through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus looks at me as perfect. What more can I say? I don't think Anne thinks. I'm a child of God. My sin is forgiven. I'm without shame, guilt, or condemnation. And no amount of trying to, you know, please God by all those things that we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount is going to please him other than me believing that Jesus has done it. He is my rock. He is my foundation. Amen. Which leads us to the final point I want to make on built his house on the rock. You know, built the house on the rock. The thing about foundations is everyone has a foundation. Every one of you has got a foundation for life. And the point is, God calls us to build our foundation on his on the rock. All right? The foundation for my life goes on the rock, his foundation, because it's built on Jesus. And just by way of example, you know, we all make our own rules for living. We all have our framework. We put into practice what we believe is right or wrong, the foundation for politics, foundation for bringing children up, for whatever the case may be. You have a foundation. And for example, now, if I was to politely allow someone to merge into the traffic on the road and they got through and I was being kind and nice and I let them in, what do I expect? If I don't get her, what happens when you don't get her? What happens? Because we built it around our rules, our foundation. And that's a simple thing. The way we expect people to live. You know, oh, that person goes out and has a smoke. That person, you know, oh, I don't like the way they parent their children. You know, we look through the framework of our own foundation. We judge by the framework of our own foundation. But Jesus is saying the wise person, that's foolish. The wise person builds on the foundation of Jesus, the rock, his words, you know, and it's the fruit of the Spirit comes through. You want something that begins to enable you to understand how well you are practicing the words of Jesus. How kind are you? How gentle are you? How peaceful are you? How self-controlled are you? That is the measure that begins to help us to understand how well we're moving in life. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on his foundation, if anyone builds on your foundation using gold, silver, stone, wood, hay, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work." You know, but we start with grace. We start with grace. We live by grace. So what is the hidden meaning this morning? You know, we get the parable, we get the foundation. But are we living by grace or are we living by law? Are we living by love or are we living by rules? The hidden meaning. As followers, we understand the parable and our lives are built on the rock, the words of Jesus, if we seek to put them into practice. And I just found this picture. I just want to bring it up just to bring it to an end. Because I think as Christians, you know, like our whole life isn't all built on on sandy soil. Now we've got parts of our lives that are solid, you know, like they're solid. There are parts of you that, you know, I see and they're solid. But there's the corners of the house. You know, there's parts of our life that are built on this sort of swampy soil, and cracks begin to happen in our lives. And those cracks begin to affect us. Those cracks become the enemy begins to target, and we become unloving, we become unkind, or we become depressed, or we become whatever situation starts to happen. We begin to hide the things in our life. And so God wants to work in that in us. You know, the wise person allows God to start to put the rock under there. The foolish person continues down a track that's going to cause the house to crumble. And so this morning I just want to encourage you through this parable that, you know, it's a simple parable. You know, the wolf huffed and he puffed and he tried to blow the house down. And the pig said, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." Well, when we're built on the rock of Jesus, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, because I know I'm saved. I know God has dealt with it. And now, because the progression is simple, grace reigns in righteousness, being right with God, which is just faith. Righteousness leads to holiness. Then righteousness and holiness enables me to transform. It's just getting it the right way around.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.